Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit, which you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere. We pray and receive insight in your word. I will receive the simplicity of the word with meekness in our hearts. And we pray that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. Bible says in verse 18, then it came. Let me allow you to get there. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. And he came and he said unto them, and he said, all power, that's what authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he said unto them, go ye therefore into the world, and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded. Lo, I am with you always, even till the what? The end of time. Now, let's take it a step backwards. Now, when Jesus was on earth, the book of Matthew was not a Bible. Are we here? The book of John wasn't in the Bible. The book of Mark wasn't in the Bible. So Jesus didn't have an ability to quote Galatians. Are we here? Jesus could not reference, Jesus in his teaching could not say, according to Paul in Ephesians 1:22. No, he couldn't say it. Are we together? Right? So, but he taught from a material. Now, where did he teach from? Bible tells you. Yeah, in 2 Timothy 3:16, yeah, 3:15, and that from a child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to what? Make the wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in what? Christ Jesus. And it says, and all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are what? Profitable for doctrine, for what? Reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto what? Good works. So what Peter had to read, what Timothy had to read, what Paul had to read, was what Jesus had to read. Are we together? So what did Jesus have to read? He only could read Matthew to Malachi. Genesis, rather. Genesis to Malachi. Okay, you're following. Right, so Jesus only could read Genesis to Malachi. Jesus could not quote Revelations. He could not quote Jude. He could not quote 1 Timothy. Are we together? Right? Because all of these books were written after his resurrection. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written after his resurrection. Are we together? Up until he died and he was in the grave for 3 days and resurrected, there was no book called Book of Matthew. There was no book called Book of Luke. All they had was what? The books of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. So all his teachings were strictly from Moses, Psalms, and the prophets. Are we together? Acts 1 tells you, Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Look at Acts 1, 2 quickly. Acts 1, 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Look at Acts 1, 2 quickly. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, right, to whom also he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. So Jesus was teaching for 40 days, and all he was teaching about were what? Pertaining the kingdom of God. What was easy to teach about the kingdom of God? Genesis to Malachi. So it means that Genesis to Malachi are combination of books or compilation of books that point you to the teaching of the kingdom of God. Are we here? Genesis to Malachi are books that are compiled together to point your attention to the teaching of the kingdom of God. What did Jesus do with those books? For 40 days back to back, he was teaching. Dear saints, you know what it is to teach for 40 days back to back? You know, even in school, you had break. Abi? In school, your lecturer does Monday to Friday. Any small lecturer, any big lecturer that come and say, Saturday 9 a.m., you will still be there, but you will grumble. Are we together? Are we together? And it becomes more interesting when your lecturer now chooses a 9 a.m. Saturday before a Monday further math exam or engineering mathematics. And he comes here, and maybe during in the course of the semester, out of 12 weeks, he has only achieved 6 topics. And he wants to compress the remaining 6 on that Saturday from 9 a.m. And he's only going to set his question from those 6. Are we together? You will complain, but at the thought of failure, there's wisdom. Right? When you think that if you are not there, you can fail, there's wisdom for you to what? Dress up, whether you bath, you don't bath, you get to the place. Are we together? So Jesus was doing 40 days. There was no weekend for Jesus. Why do you suppose he was doing that? Because the work of ministry enables or entails that we are what? Well trained. That's why you see our vision as a church is to see men come into what? The reality of God in Christ Jesus. And to what? To train them for the work of ministry. How do we plan to do that? By the teaching of God's word, you know, teaching of God's word and by demonstration of what? Love. Yeah, teaching of God's word to reveal Christ and to demonstrate love in all faces of the world. See, that is what will make a man a solid minister or a man very trained or well trained for ministry. Now, remind you, it's important to know that every believer is called into ministry. Are we here? Every believer is called into ministry. So whilst there are some who are set apart to do certain things part-time, it doesn't change the fact that every believer is called into ministry. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 quickly. Tell me 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I can call you Minister Peter. You are a Minister Peter. Yeah, Minister Peter is not only a Minister Peter the day he wants to come and sing on the stage. Are we together? Minister Peter is a Minister Peter from the day he was born again. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a what? A new creature. He says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. He now tells you, all things are of God who has what? Reconciled himself. Reconciled us back to himself, rather. And he has given us unto what? A ministry unto us. A ministry of what? Reconciliation. Who are the us? There's the pastors. So every man who has been reconciled to God has been given a ministry. Are we together? Are we together? So, whilst we have some ministers who will have more responsibility part-time, it doesn't negate the fact that every believer is a minister. Are we together? You know, a lot of us think that church is just a place where we come and just worship God for the money we got over the week. And we go back home and sleep again. That's why a lot of us like to do quickies in church. What does that mean? You want to quickly just, let me just quickly go to church and come back. Let me quickly. You want to quickly... And then just wait for me now. Some of you cook beans on fire. The beans is on fire. You are sure that you will come back before it's burnt. You leave it on fire, you go, and you come back. And you are sure that it will be there. And they ask you, how was church? It was lovely. Nobody's at home. You lock the door of the house. You know that it can catch fire, but you are very certain it cannot catch fire. It's not beans. It's not my church. What does my pastor know? It's not plenty now. Pastor will just come and just... That's why, you see, the truth is that, you know, 2 Timothy, Paul will tell Timothy, he says, the things which you've heard of me, amongst many witnesses, commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also the same. Are we together? Are we together? So, in the real sense, yeah, a man of God, is one who is already trained, who is being trained, and is training others. So as you look at me today, I am being trained. Yeah, there are meetings that stretch me that I must attend. Are we together? There are prayer meetings that will stretch me that I must go for. Yeah, I won't say, oh, you know, in God's palace, we already do 9 hours prayer, I already do 10 hours prayer, 6 hours prayer. What is 6 hours? We just talk in tongues for 6 hours. Now we move on. Yeah, you know, that one is enough for me. No, there are meetings, there are people I look up to. Amen. There are people I look up to. There is nothing I teach you that is from the throne of grace. So it is only from the throne of grace to the degree in which I listen to men. Are we together? So the men I listen to are the real throne of grace. Are we together? Let me not lie to you. Definitely, the truth remains that, you know, the work of the pastor is to align you to know how to interpret scriptures. Yeah, so there might be a lot of scriptures I might have looked at and seen and said, okay, oh, this is what that means. Oh, that is why he said that. But the truth is that foundation, it's not the Holy Spirit that gave me you. Or let me say it this way. The Holy Spirit gave me through men. The Holy Spirit also will give you through men. Oh. Are we together? You see, one of God's greatest gifts in the redemption is the gift of men. Are we together? Ephesians 4 will tell you, the same God who same he who ascended, the same he who descended, whatever, right? In this says, and he gave unto us, and he gave some apostles, some evangelists, some prophets, some pastors, which are teachers, right? Now, and you see, we are saying some. It's easy to think that God looks at people and says, you people like this, is the ministry of pastor I will lay upon your head. But people like that is prophets. People like you, people have long legs, evangelists. Then people like you, pastors, you know how to speak eloquently. No, in that verse, there's only one word, some, the only one Greek word for the word some. Yeah, and the word there is the Greek word men. And it's a word that means indeed, truly, or certainly. So the other psalms, they don't have a translation in the original manuscript. Yeah, that's the same thing you see in 1 Corinthians 12 when it speaks about some gifts of the Spirit. All together. So what is Paul really saying in Ephesians 4? And he gave upon the resurrection certainly ministry gifts. So pastor, prophet, evangelist, whatever, they are offices that men will fit into operating. Are we here? There are offices that men will fit into operating. And to a large extent, the influence you surround yourself with will determine the office you're operating. Did you get that? See, if you are under a man who is given to prophecy, and you stay there for 5 years, in 5 years you'll be given to prophecy. Either you prophesy or don't prophesy. Have you noticed? When you see places where we have believers, where only their pastor sees, what happens to the members? Open my file. Pastor, see my case. Pastor, open my file. Pastor, what is God saying? Pastor, yes. Pastor, what is God saying? You too, what is God saying to you that you are not hearing? Are we together? See, a lot of times when you get instructions from your pastors, it is not because God only wants to speak to you through your pastor. I'll say that again. Yeah, when you get instructions from your pastor, it's not because God only wants to speak to you through your pastor. Are we there? So it means, now think about it this way. When Jesus finished teaching for 40 days, what was the first question they asked him when he left the meeting? They asked him a very ridiculous question. How can a man teach you so much about a man who is going to wear white and blue cap, then pink shoe? And he has taught you for 40 days. In fact, he taught you before the crucifixion and resurrection. Then now took out 40 days to emphasize what he has been teaching you. And the man now comes in from the door with blue cap and pink shoe. And the first question you ask the person that taught you, that labored over your heart for 40 days. Oga, we know. Yeah, you are the man of God. You are God. There is none beside you. You are the I am that I am, the presence of the time. You are the Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. Only you. Now we've heard your teaching. That says, you know, if you look at the Aston Villa, the man that is our president is not a Nigerian. No. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Let's say we're in Togo. The man that is in the villa is not from Togo. Let's say Sudan. The man, you know, when he cracks jokes like this, members can take what they want to take. Me, I'm talking sincerely. I'm innocent in my speech. You can't even affirm that you trust me. Yeah? And he asked them, and he said, when will you now dismantle that villa? How can a man who is not a Nigerian be leading us? What did Jesus say unto them? That is not for you. What is for you is to receive power. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. That you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Are we together? Is it wrong to be a politician? No. Is it wrong to be a president? No. But the truth remains that there are certain things you will have to let go of to be committed to the things of God. Remember, what Jesus teaches is the ability for you to place priority in ministry over everything else. So Jesus finishes his teaching of 40 days Bible seminar. Every day. And such a question they asked him. So it means that we as saints need to pay attention to what we learn consistently. Never get tired of listening to God's word.
Are we here? Never get tired of listening to God's word. Never get tired of listening to God's word. In fact, let me say it this way. Never get tired of listening to the same thing over and over again. You see, a lot of members put us as pastors in trouble, right? Because we always have a mindset or a disposition to the pastor that if he doesn't say something new, he doesn't know so much. Are we together? So he puts the pastor under tension to want to say something new. Something. Yeah, he wants to say something new every time just because the members want him to say something new. What do? We refine it. We polish it. That's why a lot of us as pastors, we know our topics we teach on Sunday by the movies we watch on Saturday. See, anytime I just want auction, I just go and listen to Suits. I just watch Suits and just follow through. And it paints a picture of what I'm going to teach the next Sunday. I had a pastor who says he likes to watch Spider-Man before he teaches any of the series because it makes him see how a mere man can go far into the skies. Because they deceive you that Spider-Man is climbing building. Are we together? So in the real sense, why is he that way? It's pressure. Right? Bible tells you about Jesus. He was speaking, pertaining the same thing. Look at it this way. For them to have a question about politics after a 40 days hot teaching, do you suppose that Jesus is a good teacher? Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus is a good teacher? Is Jesus a good teacher? He's a good teacher. So imagine Jesus as a good teacher teaching for 40 days every day back to back. Number one, it makes you to see, for them to ask that question, that he did not tackle that question at all. Are we here? It means he did not talk about politics. So politics is not the business of the church. Are we here? Are we here? Whilst a believer can be involved in politics, politics is not the business of the church. Praise God. Praise God. What is God's will on earth? God's will on earth is that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. How will he achieve that when men give themselves solely, fully, deliberately to ministry? What will ministry entail? Ministry will entail that you are sitting and you are learning, you are taking notes, you are going back home to the visit, you are getting better by the day. You know, I've been saying this phrase very often recently. Whatever you give yourself to consistently, you will do well at it. Right? Whatever you give yourself to, let me tell you something. If you lie and you give yourself to lying, you will be good at lying. You know, there's people that they don't plan their lie ahead. Their lie flows out of the abundance of their heart and out of their belly. Flows rivers of living lies. They can lie, like their lie just flows, like it's natural. You'll be calling somebody. That's why so, a lot of us do it in Nigeria, for instance. You are seeing somebody. You are seeing him. Cleo. You call him and say, "Where are you?" And she will tell you, "She's Nakure." And you can be seeing the person one by one. You just, like, it just flows. Natural. How can lie be your natural, your default state? Some people is have to move pockets. You know? So some people are so good at it. But the truth is that the more you do something, the more you get better at it. It's the same thing with ministry. The more you go out to win souls, the more you get better at it. Let me tell you something. There is nobody. You rarely see someone who starts off in ministry and goes out for evangelism and is automatically very bold from the beginning. Yes, there can be a few people can be bold. But there will be a lot of, what do I say? How do I say it? What if they don't? What if they don't accept me? But the truth is that you need to go and you need to keep going. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. So we have believers meeting where people are allowed to take the mic and minister to other believers. Yeah, one of the things you should want to edify, want to say something by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. I was not in a lot of you's mind this morning, but I'm very sure that a lot of you, when I was calling you and when we were coming here, you didn't know what to say. Like, I'm very sure. Why am I sure? I've experienced it over time. Yeah? All the Spirit needs from you is to be willing. Yeah? I can look at you and say, "Come." As a lot of times, when I point some of you, they will start laughing. "Hey, this man wants to embarrass me." But if you just stay there, come and take the mic. You just say something. Sometimes I see the joy on their face. He walked up. He entered. There's somebody with that name. And they go back to their seat as men of God. When they're coming out as sisters and brothers. And I go back to their seat now. Yeah, we see. You sit down. I'll see. You that you were shy when you're coming here. First, I'll see her privately. You two are going to be a minister. But why did I say that? The more you give yourself to these things, the more you become better. In this year, give yourself to the things that matter, because you will become better to the things you give yourself to. If you give yourself to Bible study, you become better. I was telling someone over the week, the last time I did memory verse. Yes, we grew up in a beautiful family, beautiful atmosphere, where you must know memory verse. If you don't know it, you're on your own. You must cram it. And that kind of cramming, John 3:16. For God, let me not say who he was. I was talking to a man who was talking to his kids, and he's trying to bring them up in the way of the Lord. And they too, they've learned his weakness. They know he doesn't know so much in the Bible. So you know what they do? he will call them. He said, what's the memory of the day? They will just say Isaiah 27:7. And say anything that is in the Bible. And man will just say, oh, that's good. Second one. One day I was like, these children, they are too good. I had to open the scriptures they were going to. How can you say Philippians? I know Philippians is no more than 4 chapters. I say Philippians 7:3. And you are quoting something there. Oh, that's good. I'm proud of my child. I'm proud of my children. I say, are we together? Are we here? Yeah. So I know memory verse is a way, but if you're not getting your children, because the information our children have now, our younger ones have now, what they are exposed to is a lot. I heard Brian was telling me of a brother, of a child. The father said, don't take the iPad to the bedroom. What did he do? He put the iPad in the sitting room at the door and lied down in the bedroom. I was watching. How old is the boy? Where did he see it from? How can you? When did you let you open the door? You put the iPad into the room. You stay in the bedroom. What the father was saying is that go to bed, though. But he didn't say don't watch anything. He just said don't take that. Because he knows that if he leaves the iPad into the room, he should go to the room. He should get bored and sleep off. Or God put the iPad in the living room. He was watching his series. All these things we are saying, look at it. In the next 10 years, most of us here, we have children. Are we here? If you are not grounded in the world, you're not grounded in commitment to God. You cannot, what you don't have, you cannot communicate. You cannot give what you don't have. You only give from the wealth of what you have. So right now, that it looks like nobody's looking at your side. All the ladies you are toast, nobody's looking at you. Give yourself to ministry. Give yourself to ministry. You will still eventually marry. You will still find love. And love will find you. But there are things that you need. That's why a lot of our ladies right now, let me tell you something. It might look like nobody's coming your way. It might look like everybody that comes your way, they are not as fervent as you want. You increase your fervency. Increase your fervency. Be there. Go for meetings. Be in church. Be learning God's word. Give yourself to study. Listen to messages. Go to the website. Some of you here, you've never got to download any of our messages. Can you see my brother is acknowledging? He's acknowledging. Say, Pastor, how do you know? That's interpretation. Yeah, interpretation. How do you know, Pastor? Mm-hmm. You're there. So, you need to give yourself to the things that matter. Why? Because it's God's will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. You can't give what you don't have. So, I said all of that to say this. Somebody was asking me, how do you know so many scriptures like that? I said, it was years ago that I last remember doing memory verse. John 3:16. For God. Look at saying for God. Okay. So loved the world that he. Not John the first one. But why do I quote lots of scriptures today? I have given myself to reading and reading and rereading and reading. That's why sometimes I make a deliberate effort to want to read it from the scriptures again, even though I've quoted it. I become better at it. That's why I always admonish you. When you come to church, come with your paper Bible so that you avoid distractions. Come with your paper writing material so you can read it and see. Put your phone in your pocket. It's not during that church time that the call that will change your life will always come. The phone has been with you since the last Sunday. I say, no, Pastor, you know your phone has to be at the lat. You know, God is the God of miracle. An angel can call you in the church. Okay? Put your phone aside and focus on what needs to be done. You see, when it comes to ministry, ministry is that which has eternal value. Let me say this way. Ministry is the only thing that has eternal value in this life. Everybody on earth one day will die, including myself. Everybody. The moment you sleep, the only thing that is acknowledged by God is what did you do for the kingdom? What did you do for the kingdom? What did you do for God? Could God count on you? Were you one of God's men that he was using to turn things around? One of the things I like doing is to read past stories of past men who have gone. This morning I took out time to read about five new men who God has used. I read a little more about Catherine Coleman, read a little more about A.A. Allen, read a little more about, you know, Sister Ruth, you know, read a lot. And I was seeing there's a man called Prayer Portland. His name is Portland of something. And they nicknamed him Prayer Portal, something like that. Whatever. You know, and I read his story, and I was seeing that what a man giving to prayer. They say when the man died, they went to his bedroom. They saw that the place beside his bed was weaker than all the other tiles in his house because he had knelt down so much there. You kneel down till the place where you are kneeling down. Eternal. All together. You know Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, right? Pastor Chris Oyakhilome will tell you. He said the darkest part of his body is his knees. You see, let me tell you something today. God will rather use a man of prayer than a man of doctrine. Learn all the Greek word, though. Why do you suppose a lot of people who you suppose are not teaching sound doctrine are doing the most miraculous things around the world? Go and check their prayer life. God will rather use a man of, because prayer is a way you tell God that I trust in you and you alone. For some of us, we learn more sound doctrine. What is prayer? We pray from victory. Done, we receive. Done, we receive. Your tongues even has phonetics. Why do you see? You see, so you watch TV, atmosphere of miracle. You see Pastor Chris everywhere. Oh, you see, he just walks into everywhere. The atmosphere changes. It's not by anything else. But the man of the word will know that he must be a man of prayer. Did you get what I said? God rather is a man of prayer than a man of the word. But a true man of the word must know he must be a man of prayer. Because that's the only way you show you rely on God. Are we together? You see Paul's handkerchief, apron, healing people. What did they give themselves? They gave themselves to these things. Yeah, they gave themselves to these things. Look at Paul. Having been flogged in Lystra. When they came back, they entered the same city. Look at Acts 4. What do you say among disciples? They were people who were flogged. They were beaten mercilessly. What happened? They went back to the temple and continued teaching God's word. What a heart. Have that heart for Jesus. That burning fire. That burning zeal for the things of God. The burning zeal for the things that matter. You want to catch a flight, you wake up 5 hours before. You want to go to church, you wake up 5 minutes before. It shows where your heart is. You are going to work, you wake up 7 hours before, you wake up 4 hours before. You are going to work by 8 o'clock, right? You wake up by 6 o'clock. You are going to church by 9 o'clock, wake up by 8:47. And you now hide behind the car. You know, the alarm will not ring out. It's that you program your mind not to hear the alarm. Because you heard the same alarm Monday to Friday. What make you program your mind? Salary. They will deduct your salary. But church, nobody is... Now, you know, no pastor likes to talk too much. By now, you'll be repeating Matthew 28. And after that, I go 2 Timothy 4. Okay, by the time I take Uber 20 minutes, I should meet up when it's halfway, when it enters the main teaching. You've missed prayer. You've missed singing. You've missed believers meeting. You've missed so many other things. This year, make up your mind that the things of this world will not carry you away from God. Don't get a job and be less fervent to the things of God. Don't get a contract and be less fervent. That's why, you know, we say something. A lot of times, it's easy to know people who are really committed. Or a lot of times, it's not really easy. A lot of people are committed to God because there's no money today. So what pushes their commitment is lack of money. The day they have a better job. You know, how many of you know that Sunday is the best day to rest? You don't know. Sunday morning. No rest is as restful as Sunday morning rest. Where you use Saturday to do Owambe, you eat, you celebrate, you dance, 11 p.m. You want to sleep till 12 noon. Or you want to do laundry on Sunday. Because the sun is, you know, it's sunny on Sunday. But your commitment, your dedication, you see, let your heart be so fixed on God that people cannot really tell what your bank account says. Do you get what I mean? Let your heart be so fixed on God that people cannot really tell who you are in your office. Brethren in church. Right? You come to church, the usher says, sit here. And you move. You get to the gate, they say, Oga, please, can move. If you want to repack, you take the key. Yeah? I heard of a story. I think my dad used to share this story. He's talking about how one man, he was a director in one of those foreign com, Ministry of Finance, something like that. Yet he was a usher in the church. So on Sunday, he just wears normal suit, wears normal usher uniform, and puts the, is it apron? What do you call that thing? It's not apron, sorry. What do you call it? Tap reflective jacket. Which is normal. Director. One day, one woman just came. The man said, man, could you please just move so that another car, so this place could have, if we, you know that kind of thing. You know some places, when you pack, anyhow, it affects every other parking. Just move here. He said, who are you to talk to me? He said, ma, please, he gave him one towel. The man said, I'm sorry, ma. I was just saying, champagne, but you can leave it like that. Why would you have to leave it like that? You want another one? You want to see stars? Only for her to find out. The contract he submitted a week before it was to his office. Shame. But the truth remains, must you slap somebody because the person, you don't know the person has contract influence? The contract she was submitting for, she had already done proposed and package it. I'm sure that was giving her, making her blow up like puff. Do you know what I will have by next week? Come on, I'll give him something huge. I'm expecting something huge. I'm expecting something huge, yeah? Do you know what I'll have by next week? You cannot talk to me that way. I need to have to find out that that's the director. If I had this even find out, it was more ridiculous. She now went to the office to go and follow up with her letter. I saw the man just, everybody stood up and said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir. When did he say? You know, do you want to imagine what she felt? Hey, I was dreaming yesterday. No. It was in my dream. I slapped somebody. No. Me slap? I'm born again. But you must not know. So what you learn from that story, a man, a director, left his high position to work for God. In church, there is no class. Are we here? In church, there is no class. In church, there is no class. Bible says there's neither male, neither female, neither Jew, neither Greek. Neither master, neither slave. We're all one. Genesis chapter 1, 26. And God, Christian 7. So God created man in his own image. In his image created he him. Male and female created he them. And he said unto them, and he blessed them. Right? And he said unto them, be fruitful, be multiplied. Multiply, replenish the earth. What does it mean to multiply? Not to be sleeping. God wasn't telling Adam and Eve to be sleeping and burning children. How many children could they have born that would multiply the earth? Think about it. How many children could Eve carry? How many? No, but that's an instruction to the believers who are found in the image of God. Be fruitful, multiply. How do you do that? Jesus now brings clarity to the information. He says what? Go ye therefore into the world and what? Make disciples. Making disciples is the multiplicity. It's the fruitfulness. It's the replenishing. So it means that when you come to church, you will have a subtle heart of humility to receive the simplicity of God's word. Are we together? When it's time to serve, you serve. When it's time to go home, you go. When it's time to participate, you participate. When it's time to come for meetings, you are readily, presently there. And you are there early. Praise God. So, as believers, there are certain instructions and examples we see all across scriptures. Bible will tell you in 1 Peter 2, right? Christ has suffered for us and he left for us a what? An example that we should what? Follow his steps. So Christ also suffered. Say Christ suffered. Now together. Christ is God, right? Christ is God, right? So can you imagine God being flogged by people he created? Do you understand what I mean? Christ is God that took on flesh. And he was flogged by the people that he started. As an example. You see, as believers, you will learn how to not always how do I say this? You will learn how to submit yourself to the things of God with total surrender. Are we here? Now, you see, the thing about this is the pastor will know his part from scriptures, and disciples will know their part from scriptures. What does that? What do I mean? A lot of times, the reason why a lot of people don't give themselves fully to service is because of the stories they've heard from previous pastors or the experiences they've had. Altogether, imagine I'm your pastor and I call you to come and wash my plate on Monday morning. I know you are working. So I'm trying to test your fervency. I'm trying to test your commitment to those who have rule over you. Those things discourage people. That's why you say a lot of believers today, I don't want to just worship, but I don't want to do no, I just want to just appear and disappear. That's why I always want to come late so that the front seat will be full, so that I can just sit close to the door. So once you just say, be with you now forevermore, amen, you are gone. A lot of times we don't blame people for that. But let's just say it this way. Even if pastor doesn't know his own, you know your own first. Know your own. Know your own. See, there are so many examples in scriptures that can make you understand what followership is. So Jesus, look at Jesus in Luke. Right? He was going and, you know, he beckoned on one and the person said, oh, let me go and say farewell to my family. Let me go and greet them. Bye-bye. He said, I'll come next week. And I'll say, I'll come next week. Let me just go and, you know, let me just go and, what did he even say again? Let me go and bury. What did Jesus say to such a one? He says, let the what? Let the dead bury the dead. That sounds harsh, right? It doesn't just sound harsh. It is harsh. You see, the glory of God cannot be compared with any other thing on earth. The glory of God cannot be compared. God doesn't share that which belongs to him. Yeah, it's his glory. It's for him. Are we together? Are we together? So this year, make up your mind that I will serve God more this year. Let every new year meet you with a deliberate decision to serve God better this year. Let every month meet you with a deliberate decision to serve God better this month. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, look at Philippians. Let's see Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, chapter 2. It's still in the same line, but I want to show you a few things. Look at Philippians 2, right? Are you there? Look at verse 5. It says, let this what? Philippians 2, 9. Let this what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the what? Likeness of men. Now, what is Paul letting you to see? He says, let this mindset be in you. What mindset is that? It's the mindset that was also in the mind or that Jesus also had. Dear saints, right? The mindset God expects you to have is what Jesus had when he was in the flesh. Are we here? The mindset that God expects you to have is what Jesus had when he was. So that's why Paul now gives you a benchmark. Oh, you see this Jesus? Let this mindset be in you. Let this mindset be in you. Let this mindset be in you. No matter how big you are, take up humility. You see, there's a difference between when you are humble and when life humbles you. I hope you know. Do you know? There's a difference between when you are humble and when life humbles you. A life can humble you to the point that you don't have transport to church. I attracted to church. Well, what a man, such a humble man. No, that is life. That is life. Oh. That is life. But there's such a thing as you have everything you need, yet you maintain a posture of humility. Are we together? Are we together? You know, I was talking about it last week when we say there are three categories of believers, right? The three G's. The what? Goers, the groaners, and the givers. Who are the goers? Those who go and preach the gospel. Who are the groaners? Those who pray for the safety of the goers. And who are the givers? Those who give for the groaners and the goers. A lot of times, a lot of people are groaners because of life that pushed them there. Even sometimes, a lot of people are groaners. It's life that pushed them there. Are we together? There's a lot of people that if they had money, they will not be goers. They will leave that WhatsApp group. As other people, they will not be groaners. But every believer is called to be a goer, a groaner, and a giver. Every. You go. You groan. You give. That is the apostolic way of doing ministry. You go. You groan. Then you give. You see, let me say this. You know, a lot of times, we have a tendency to misplace our service in local church and obeying the ministry of Jesus. What do I mean? A lot of times now, you ask people, how's ministry? And they say, fine. Well, how many souls have you won? Well, I minister in songs. You know, I'm the head of my drama units. I bless souls through drama. And then I'll come and say, you know, I minister through souls through dancing. Praise God. Praise God. See, if you are playing keyboard here every Sunday and Wednesday and Friday, if like Acts Saturday, and you don't go out to win souls, you are still in disobedience to Jesus. There's such a thing as rendering service for what is needed amongst the saints and bringing people in darkness into the light of God. Playing saxophone is not ministry. It's just something around. Yes, you are committed to service. But when it comes to the ministry of reconciliation we received, you say, when I blow the trumpet, you know, let me tell you something. A lot of times, saxophone ministers, it's not that there's anything special they are doing. An average mind is appealed towards something good when you hear it. Let me give you an example. You'll be in a church, people that are not Yoruba, a man with Yoruba there will just say something in Yoruba. And you say, that's my God. You don't even know the meaning. You start crying. What moved you to tears? Every man has that soft spot in their heart. Another tribe come and do Igbo. They told the blows at the phone. He just gets to a place. He just maintain one note. Don't just leave it for 15 seconds. Nobody will talk here. 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Whoop! Glory, glory. What are you glorying for? You are surprised that somebody held his breath for 40 seconds. It's not the thanksgiving that's making you glory a lot of times. You know, I'm telling you from experience. It's not the heartful of gratitude that is making you glory. A lot of times, it's just your emotions that is, well, what? Pampered. And that is why, as believers, we need to give ourselves to sound doctrine so that we don't allow emotions lead the way. Emotions are good, yes, but emotions should follow your right doctrine. Are there people that cry in error? Are there people that cry in error? How many of you know this song? Open the floodgates. And we have Brahiri on the tongue. Boom! And I'll do chimes. You want the chimes? What is that fruit that is touching you? That thing he does there. And now he the same. And the singer now say, because you're in. Bang, bang, bang. Is those this thing that is moving you? Baba, baba, the man that sang the song after millions of people have cried came out and openly said it, that he sang the song in ignorance. How many of you saw the video 4 or 5 years ago? You saw it, right? He came out to his church, the pastor in the U.S. He said, which gate of heaven? I'm sure you will feel ignorant. You will feel so ashamed when he says it and you are among those that have cried before. You're not going to say that. Why was I really crying? They say open. Floodgates. Okay. Heaven. Abundant. Okay. How did they relate? How did it relate to tears in my eyes, music in my heart? How did it relate? So there are lots of songs that we will just get so excited into it, and all of a sudden, you just the more you grow in knowledge, you become better in it. That's why, as a church and our music team, we need to pay attention as much as possible to that which you know is the eternal work. That which revolves around that which is sorted. Tomorrow there cannot be an update on the resurrection. Do you get that? There cannot be an update on your salvation. So if you sing about it today, tomorrow, but you know, when you just mix everything together, you know, and that's why you hear people who say, you know, what prayer cannot do? Praise. If prayer fails, try praise. You know why? Praise is something that without you being too interested, you know that if you are dancing here, even if you don't know how to dance, you will move. And as the thing is sweetie, the man now ministers to your soul with another song you look forward to. You let go. You scatter everywhere. You remove your shoe. That's the shoe you came with. You remove it. Are we together? You let go. In the real sense, when you now come back tomorrow and tell you, you know, it's just the way life is. You will grow better. But there are certain things you can stay with. And you know you are certain for the next 200 years. Baba carry me, they go, no stop. They will still grow. It's not like that non-stop part too. Don't joke with that non-stop. Carry me, they go, no stop. Carry me, they go, no stop, no stop. It's non stop. Where are you going to? British Airways. So in the real sense, you will see that in the real sense, a lot of times they will grow. And you know not everybody knows how to come back to correct what they said. You just notice they don't sing it again. And go, they follow you, they correct the phone. And the person says, I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing after. I go, they follow. We too, we are growing now. It's not true. We'll grow now. We'll be better now. And so everybody will grow. Let all of us just grow. As long as there is growing. Are we together? That's why, you see, you don't see anybody in the book of Acts who joined the local church or in the epistles who joined the local church because of their praise team. People join church now because of what? Praise team. Or LED screen. If that's the way Peter, James, John behaved, where would the gospel go to? Imagine Jesus was teaching 40 days meeting. And from day one, Peter was not there early. He just rushed in with his betrothed slippers and everything. I just came, Master, I'm sorry. Day two, James came late. Why do you suppose they knew the answers to give at different times in their ministry? Are we here? So there's a heart you have towards God. It's God's will that the earth is saved. It's God's will that everyone is saved. It's God's will. It's God's will, oh dear saints. You can't joke. You can't change it. For every man who destroys, God's will is safety. Did you hear that? For every man who is a chain thief, a chain killer, a serial killer. Look at Paul. Paul was on his way to go and give consent to the death of people. Paul supervised in Acts 8 the killing of who? Stephen. They stoned Stephen. Paul was consenting to it. He was the chief act man that let it be. They stoned Stephen for preaching the gospel. They stoned Stephen for preaching the gospel. Paul was there. What happened to Paul on his way to Damascus? He encountered God. And his life changed. In fact, look at it. When Paul changed and his life changed, the older believers were scared of him. Even the man that went to go and minister to him, was he not scared? Ananias. Isn't that Ananias? Ananias had a vision to go and minister to him. The first thing he told God, simple man, Paul, sorry, God, I'm not saying you don't know all things, but have you not heard what he has been doing? Did God know what Paul has done? Do you think it was new to God? What did God say to Paul, to Ananias? Go there, lay hands. I look at what Paul, Ananias did when he went to meet Paul. He says, Brother Saul. Are we together? He says, Brother Saul. The Lord has said, I don't know if that was from a place of conviction or fear. Because you can just call Brother Saul in a way that you don't want him to be scared. I will just call my first name. Brother Saul. But Ishak called him Brother Saul. And what happened? He ministered to him. And he laid hands on him. And those things fell off his face. You cannot teach Bible exegesis today and teach accurately today without mentioning a former killer's name. How many of you? Is there any day in gospel that we don't talk about Paul? If I don't talk about it, the person that did prayer will talk about him. If I don't talk about it, the person that did the announcement will talk about him. A former killer, a serial killer. Let's see. What Paul, as a former killer, did before he slept, all of us combined together, we've not done half. All of us together. I know myself now. Abi? And I know all of us. Or let me say most of us. We've not done half of what Paul did. Yet, who was he? A former killer. When Jesus met him in the when he had the vision about Jesus, what did Jesus call him? Saul. Saul. Why persecuted thou me? What a teaching on identification that is. Was Paul flogging Jesus? Did Paul flog Jesus? Did Paul meet Jesus to flog him? Did Paul slap Jesus? No. But what did Jesus say to him? You are persecuting me. What does that mean? It means persecuting the church, actually persecuting Jesus. But God's view or God's goal or God's will for those who persecute the church is for them to be saved. Did you get that? When you persecute this church, touch not my anointed, yeah, my people, right? When you persecute, even though you persecute, in the real sense, God's will is for that man who is a persecutor to be saved. Because God needs what? Men. God needs men. We thank God they need. You know, a lot of times you would have killed Paul. But he too was smart to run and hide. I hope you know that. A lot of times they would have killed him, but he too will run. He will hide. He will run. He will hide. You know, the apostles also experienced deliverance so many times. Read Acts 6. Is it Acts 2 or Acts 5? No. Acts 8, if I'm not mistaken, 9. Peter was in prison, guarded by soldiers. Is that not true? And what happened? An angel ministered to him. The first thing Peter thought that it was a dream, it was a vision. What did the angel say unto him? Get up. Bible says as he got up, the chains left him. And the gate in which they were approaching opened. And he went. Let me interest you. People were praying for his deliverance in the house. Abi, Mary's mother's house. Abi? They were praying for his deliverance. What happened when he got to the house? They were praying for him. He knocked. Rhoda heard his voice. She was excited. And went back and told people who were praying for his deliverance. And they told her, you are mad. Oh Lord, deliver Peter. We need Peter alive. It's needed for the work of ministry. Deliver Peter now comes and knocks. Rhoda in excitement. Wait, I say, well, she couldn't even open the door. He said, you must have seen his angel. Are we together? That is instructive in itself. Number one, it makes you understand what their state of answered prayer meant. Did you get that? It makes you understand what they see answered prayer as. What is answered prayer? Your prayer is, I told you about the lady that was asking me, when does God answer that? Mother old lady, when does God answer? Yeah. Amen. They had an experience in the prison, you know. They had an experience in one way or the other. They were that caught, they were that killed, they were that martyred, they were either, you know, they went through a lot and they counted it as joy to be partakers of such things. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at Acts 8. Let's just see Acts 8. Are you in Acts 8? Acts 8:29. Please look at this very carefully. Let's read verse 29 together. Acts 8:29. 1, 2, 3, go. And Philip what? And Philip what? What did the Spirit say to Philip? Go near and attack. What did Philip do? Ask yourself a question. What's the Spirit saying to you? What are you doing in response to that? Are you one who is ready and willingly waiting for the go of the Spirit so that you can run? Are we here? The Spirit bade Philip. He says, go. What did he do? He ran thither and he attached himself to do what? To do the work of ministry. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are you ready to go at the instruction of God's go? You see, sometimes now you can try to chicken out the go of God and say, God said I should go. Oh no, God has not told me to go. If you're looking for go to Matthew 28:18. Amen. That's the Spirit of God telling you to what? To go. To go. To do the work of ministry. To pray. You see, for every day you wake up, always think about souls. Think about the number of people who are perishing. Think about the number of people who are dying. Think about the number of people who are in bondage. The bondage of fear. Bondage of sin and death. Think about the people who have given themselves to the bondage of Satan. Deliberately, actively fighting against the gospel. Think about how God's will for them is still to be saved. So you go out in days to come, in months to come, and you see that there are men who stand you, who will stand you, who say no to you. What do? You go back to the place of prayer, and you do what? You pray some more. You see, learn the habit of praying for people with definite names. Are we together? Are we here? You go out from evangelism, you meet a man called Abdul Sadiq. Pick that name. Take out time and pray. In doing that, you supply persuasions to hearts and you allow God to do his work. You see, there are people I have preached to in time past that did not receive me at the get-go. But what I know that happened is that I planted a seed. Are we here? There are people, you will plant seeds of the gospel in their hearts and other people will water it and nurture it to growth. But you yourself, just plant the seed. Plant the seed. Obey God. Obey God. The Spirit says, Philip, go! Bible says, Philip ran. Are you willing to run for God? Are you willing to run in obedience to God? Are you willing to run in obedience to God? Are you willing to run in obedience to God? Bible says, Jesus, who for the joy was set before him, he endured. That endurance is in you, right? Why? Because Jesus is in you. Say, Jesus is in me. Jesus. Say, endurance is in me. Jesus. Say, obedience is in me. Jesus. So, the spirit of prayer you see in Jesus is in you. Amen? Yes. The spirit of prayer. Jesus prayed for how many days? 40 days. 40 nights. So, if you are one who after 40 minutes you are tired, let me tell you what Jesus is telling you. Bro, you are dull, you know. 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 Why? Because the ability to pray, as long as Jesus prayed, is in you. How together? The ability to spend time praying. I'm talking of prayer. Yes, prayer is prayer. I'm talking of giving yourself. You know, let me say this again. You know, spending long time in a place of prayer is not to impress God. I hope you know that. Spending hours in a place of prayer is not to impress God. Spending hours in prayer is not to persuade God more. No, your prayers cannot persuade God more. Are we together? God is God all by himself. Nothing can move him. Your prayer is for you. Are we together? Your prayer is for you. Your prayer helps you. Your prayer doesn't help God. So, if you say your prayer helps God to the degree in which you taught in over the last believers meeting, to the degree in which you surrender yourself to his will over the heart of men who need to be saved. Are we together? Are we here, dear saints? You know, this, I'm trying to use this first month of the year to get your mind in where it should be. Get your mind to see what you ought to see. Enough of playing. Enough of playing. Enough of playing. Enough of playing. You selectively go to church when you want. You choose when you just want to. You choose when you want to serve God. No, you don't serve God on your terms. Amen? You don't serve God on your terms. No. You don't serve God. You don't dictate the terms of service to God. He dictates it and gives you an ability to walk in it. Amen? Amen? He dictates and gives you that ability. Why don't you make up your mind that for one more soul every day, you will have that burning desire to follow God. You will have that burning desire to give yourself to service. Give yourself to prayer, to the ministry of the world, to fellowship. Is comfort good? Is comfort good? Is comfort good? Comfort is good, though. But there's sometimes for the work of ministry, you will let go of comfort. You will let go of comfort. You will let go of comfort. Just because of the work of ministry. Just because of the work of ministry. When God says to you, go, what do you do? Not sleep. Let me tell you this. I'm going to give a prophecy right now. This year, some of you will have nights where you will not be able to sleep. This is a prophecy. You will have nights where you will not be able to sleep. Let it dawn on you that that is God wanting you to spend time in fellowship with Him. You know, it's not every night you feel like sleeping. Even though you know how busy your day tomorrow will go. Let it be that that births in you a passion, a desire for you to pray for one more soul. Pray for your church. You pray for your local assembly. Pray for the universal church. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for those who are not saved. Pray for those who are saved and not paying attention to God's word. You take out time. You pray. You take out time. You study the word. You read. You cannot be better in what you don't give yourself at. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Now, imagine if Ananias slept off. Imagine if Ananias slept off when he ought to do what Paul. Could another person be used? But do you think it's affecting a lot of other things? There are people who God wants to use on earth, and their use and their being used is attached to your obedience. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. Get yourself in a place where you are always ready to go. Get yourself in a place where you are always ready to move. Say, this year I will move. Say, this year I will move. I'm not saying you move to a new household. Because some of you just increased your voice because you just said move. You know that your rent is coming. Say, this year I will move. Say, this year I will move in obedience to the instruction of Jesus. Say, I will go. I will run. I will obey. I will stay there. I will listen. I will listen. You know, some of us, we have over time gotten ourselves dead to the voice of God. How? By constantly what? Repelling His voice in disobedience. You know, you can get used to disobedience. You know, you can get used to disobedience. You can get used to discrediting God's voice. You can get used to disobedience. But what will God have you do? That you get used to obedience. And you get used to, you grow in obedience. You listen. You grow in obedience. Why do we have church meetings? So that we come together, listen to what God's will really is, and fulfill God's will on the earth. Unroll His plan. Lay out His plan. Lay out His plan. Live His dream on earth. God's will is that we live His dream on earth. God's big dream is that all men are saved and come into His family. God wants the earth to be His. Are we together? He wants the earth to be. The Bible tells you in Genesis 1. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the what? Earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And what? Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God what? Spirit of God moved. We've taught several in church. The Spirit of God will move when men move. Now, what would the Spirit of God be? It will be the light that God says in verse 3. And God said, let there be what? Light. What does light do? Light actually quenches the darkness on the face of the deep. Yeah? No, I told you several. Genesis chapter 1 opened up with a prophecy. God's new beginning. God's new heritage. God's new beginning. So Moses will use heaven and earth as a figurative expression to talk about the union between God and the church. Union between God and man. And God made heaven. That's a new beginning. That's a new beginning. The Spirit of God is the solution to bring that unity. The Spirit of God is the bond between God and the church. And the Spirit of God in you is for a reason. For you to bring more men into God's family. Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Paul now tells 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, verse 4, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, lest the world, the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God. Yeah, verse 6 now tells you, and God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone, he shone his light in our hearts. The light of God has shone in our hearts. We as light, take that light into the world and bring more men into what? Light. Take them out of darkness. You take darkness over their head. You take darkness over their heart. You remove darkness from within them and you shine God's light into them. For you see, that is God's will on the earth. You see, that's what God will have you do part time. That is God's purpose for you. That is God's will for you. That is God's will for the earth. That's what God wants to see. God wants to see men troop into his knowledge, troop into his light. For God doesn't like men in darkness. Hallelujah. God doesn't like men in darkness. God likes men in light. God wants men in light. God wants men in light. So this year, make up your mind. You will do anything for light to shine in the hearts of men. For one more soul, wake up on a Sunday and be encouraged to come to church. For one more soul, close your office at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, 5:30. Ask for a permission. For one more soul, think about the one more soul you will learn. Think about the answers to certain questions that one more soul can ask you. And give yourself to commitment to local assembly. For God's will for the church to grow is local assembly. Let me tell you, God has put a structure in the resurrection for your growth. And it's found in the what? Local assembly. So do well not to chicken out, not to fear out, or to allow fear in your heart. Do well not to allow trepidation. Do well not to allow, the cares of this world to envelop your heart. For you see, God counts on you the same way he counts on me. And God will only do what he wants to do on earth when men are willing to surrender their hearts to him. While your heads are low, just talk in tongues for a while.